Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Carson Anderson, good Tuesday morning to you. Jake Rietma alongside Kang Nguyen filling in for the guys as they honor the life of Jamie Samuelson, our dear friend and colleague, as he's laid to rest today. Taking your calls, 248-539-9797. Ticket text, the same number. The big decision on college football in the Big Ten to come at 10:30. We're also talking, what does this mean for the NFL if college football is in fact pushed back in not only the Big Ten, but all around? And of course, always, always open lines, which is where we'll go now. Chris on a cell phone. What's going on, Chris?
Good morning. I just wanted to call and give you guys like my opinion of Jamie, or not opinion, but my memory.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's hear it.
Well, I just love to listen to him talk, no matter what he was talking about. And he's kind of the one that turned me on to listening to The Ticket. I've always been a sports fan, but he made me become a Ticket fan. And I always tuned in. And he was just one of those people. It didn't matter if he was talking about sports or other stuff. He was just smart and funny and kind and, you know, the kind of person you wish was you were friends with. Anyway, I really, really liked him. And I hope that the station will put together a best of sometime and let us hear some of his good interviews and just his voice again. I mean, he's a special person, and it's just a shame his life was cut in half, you know.
Absolutely, Chris. And I think you made the great point that he was the type of person everybody wants to be friends with. And really, quite frankly, everybody is better that are friends with him, because he had that impact on me personally and everybody he came in contact with. And it's also a testament to the type of broadcaster he was that just, I mean, you're a great example. Just listening to him, you felt like you were friends with him.
Yeah, he was a great guy. And for the people that knew him personally, I'm sure their hearts are broken today. And I'm sure his memory will live on, because he did touch so many lives. And it's just such a shame. Cancer has broken up so many families, and only the good die young.
Yeah, Chris, absolutely. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that at 248-539-9797.
Yeah, when they say the good die young, I mean, we lost a great one. You know, we lost a great one there. And she mentioned, Chris, like, listen, there's different... You're going to be drawn to different broadcasters, you know, it's styles, different styles. Everyone has their own, you know, technique or the way they say and do things. You know, Jamie was a guy who was really measured, though, and he was really intelligent, and he was calm, and he was kind, like she said. I mean, listen, he could be critical, but he didn't go on a rant just to go on a rant, you know. One of the things mentioned with Jamie all the time was he was egoless. He didn't need to be the star. He said things because he meant it, and he didn't have to be the loudest voice in the room. That was just his style. He had a great voice, too, by the way, so, and a calming voice. And so when he spoke, you kind of just got, you know, drawn in and listened to what he had to say. But, yeah, he was himself, and himself was kind. You know what I mean? He was – you listened, like I said. And so for someone like Chris, who maybe – that's the reason why she was, you know, listening to The Ticket and things like that. We have, you know, whether you listen to Doug or Gator or Mike Valeni, you know, I mean, we all have different styles. They all have different voices. But, you know, Jamie had a distinct in his own way, like I said, where he was measured. He knew what he was saying. He had a reason why he was backing everything up. And I'm going to miss him more as a friend, obviously, but definitely as a broadcaster, too. He was really good at what he did.
No doubt about that. And kind of continuing on with honoring Jamie Samuelson today as he's laid to rest, I think it's also important to remember what made him tick. And I think he would want us to continue on in his memory, of course, but also to have some fun and to laugh and to not take things too seriously.
He had the best sense of humor, man.
Right.
The listeners might not realize it sometimes with Jamie, because he was pretty serious and, you know, calm for the most part. But if you knew him at all, you knew he had the best sense of humor. I mean, sometimes dark places, but that's the kind of sense of humor he had. He can go anywhere with it. You know, I love texting him about just jokes. I mean, I knew I could text him any kind of joke and he wouldn't be offended. He would actually come back with something even funnier most of the time. So, yeah, like I said, awesome guy. And you're right. He would want us to continue on. And I know he was passionate about college football, even though Northwestern isn't, you know, we all know.
Hey now. Sorry, I know where you're going with that, but let's not forget. I don't make me bust out my Big Ten West champion button that I received where, that's right, Indianapolis attending the Big Ten championship game, which I had every plan of going to that game with some Michigan fans, but they did not take care of business against Ohio State the weekend before. So it was Northwestern versus Ohio State in that Big Ten championship game.
Well, trust me, Northwestern is a school I think like pretty much all the other Big Ten schools can get behind as long as they're not playing against Northwestern. You know what I mean? It's one of those you know what, every 20 years or whatever it is, they come around. That's totally fine. It's fun. It's, you know, it's great for the conference. And they'll root for them. So, but generally speaking, historically speaking, Northwestern are not the best at football. And that's okay. But are we going to have football this year? And I want to ask a simple, very simple question to the listener at 248-539-9797. Take a text, same number. Should there be college football this fall? Not do you want there to be college football this fall, because I think we can all agree we want college football, right? We want sports. We want normalcy. But should there be is the question. And the Big Ten, it got leaked out that they had taken a vote, and it was a 12-2 vote that the season was going to get postponed or canceled, right? They can word it however they want. Apparently now maybe it was considered a survey or just a quick, you know, questioning of the room and not an actual vote, but whatever. We know they spoke, and it seemed to be coming back overwhelmingly postpone the season. They've backed up on that now, though, with the pushback from the players and the coaches. So now, is this just kicking the can down the road, though? To me, I've been saying this for weeks. I don't see how they can have a season. I have no problem with them exhausting every option, though, until we get to that point. They put out the schedule Wednesday last week with a lot of flexibility, right? My only, I guess, question is, why so quick to pull the plug now when they had this schedule with all this flexibility, even though I did not think the season was going to happen anyways?
Right. You got to wonder what transpired in a couple of days here where all of a sudden you have this schedule put in place. And was that schedule a bluff? Or was it just to put it out there to give people hope? It certainly doesn't make any sense to me to put a schedule out there and then less than a week later, unless, you know, you see what transpired over the weekend with the MAC. But I don't think the Mid-American Conference is that powerful where, okay, the MAC canceled, now the Big Ten's got to follow suit. I don't think that's there. And then you take into consideration the we want to play movement that's happening right now. We want to coach movement. How powerful are guys like Jim Harbaugh and Ryan Day speaking out to saying we want to coach, we want to play, we feel it is in the best interest of our players to play in a controlled environment. You know, Harbaugh, I'm sure we broke down the written statement Harbaugh made yesterday about the specifics of everything that Michigan's doing to create this controlled, safe environment for their student athletes. And then you take into consideration that regular students, I hate to use the term regular students, but students are, in all indication, going to be back on campus. So where do you draw the line between it's safe to have students back on campus, but it's not safe to have student athletes in a controlled environment playing college football?
Well, I think the first, you know, thing that comes to my mind when you mentioned the students and student athletes is you can tell, listen, I think we all agree that students are going to end up gathering at some point, whether it's a party, bar, wherever it is. They're not going to social distance. They're not going to wear a mask. But you can tell students, the non-student athlete, to wear a mask. You could tell that student, wash hands and stay 6 feet apart or whatever. You cannot tell a football player that. And I know you bring up the controlled environment, but how much testing is going to be going on? And by the way, they will be interacting with the other student body that aren't student athletes. You know, as far as science goes, this is a no-brainer. They should not be playing. I want football. Don't get me wrong. I want them to play. I just don't think they should be playing. And I think this is something that we've all seen coming. And unfortunately, I think our hopes got raised a little bit, some of us, when they released the schedule and there was flexibility. And I, like I said, I don't mind them waiting. And to an extent, I don't know how I feel about this, maybe even starting the season at some point, but what, so we're going to start the season until we see a breakout and be like, all right, pull back, you know, is that what your plan is then? Because we don't want any breakouts, right, or outbreaks, right?
248-539-9797, both the number to call and text. Ticket text here from Dave in Trenton. I love college football more than anything, but I do not think we should have football this fall. Too many unknown variables, at least right now. That's from Dave in Trenton. And there are going to be some unknowns. I mean, the term unknown has been thrown around throughout all of this because there have been so many. But you've got the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, going on Good Morning America this morning saying essentially the SEC is in a holding pattern. They're going to wait. And if the SEC, who you could definitely make the case is the most prominent, powerful conference, is in this pattern where they're going to do everything they can to have football, why doesn't the Big Ten follow suit? Of course, there are reasons for it, but you got guys like Jim Harbaugh, Ryan Day, James Franklin, and many other, Scott Frost. Scott Frost said Nebraska will leave the conference.
No, Scott Frost and Nebraska seems like they're playing football on Mars, Moon, the Moon, wherever. They're going to play no matter what.
Give
this
us a time, man. Give us a time. Give us a date. Nebraska's there.
I mean, they might try to get into the NFL at this point just because they want to play so bad. But listen, man, I mean, I want football. I can't state this enough, right? I just don't think it can happen, and I don't think probably it shouldn't happen, not with student athletes, not with amateurs, that's for sure.
The question is simple, 248-539-9797. Ticket text the same number. Can we have college football this season? The presidents of the Big Ten are reportedly set to meet at 10:30, so coming up in just a few minutes here, we'll continue to monitor that. We're going to talk to Dan Wetzel later on in the show to get his take on everything that's transpired. And of course, the Tigers have 9 wins. Jacoby Jones is hitting inside the park home runs. You got Nico Goodrum, you know, casually dropping 4 hits yesterday. This Tigers team is exciting. So we'll get to that as well. It's Jake Rietma and Kang Nguyen in for Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
This is the Carson Anderson Show. I'm King. You may have heard me throughout the years already. I'm the producer, but today I'm co-hosting with my friend Jake Rietma here. Jake and I are in because Doug and Scott are at the funeral of Jamie Samuelson, our good friend and colleague. He's being laid to rest today. And if you want to watch the funeral, they are going to live stream it. And we do have it up. If you go to 97.1 The Ticket on Twitter, they have the link out there. It will be starting at 11 o'clock. So if you do want to call in and share your thoughts on Jamie, feel free also at 248-539-9797. You could ticket text us at the same number. But yeah, I mean, Jamie, if anything, when Wojo brought up the story when they were on the phone, one of their last conversations, and said that Jamie had mentioned to him that he wasn't sure what kind of impact he had left after 25 years here on the air. And Wojo wanted to jump through the phone and just thump him on the head and be like, that's because you haven't let anybody know what's going on yet. And then, you know, once people find out, you'll see. And obviously once he announced, and I hope he saw all the, you know, I know we got tons of calls and phone texts and messages and everything about the outpouring of love and people getting their colonoscopy and all that stuff. So, I mean, he made a huge impact. And we're still getting the texts in today and calls. So feel free to do that if you want. Currently, right now, we're talking about something Jamie loved as well, though, is college football and go Cats, right? Jake actually went to Northwestern as well, and, you know, we're talking. It's a simple question that we're asking today. And the simple question is just what you need to get to, right to the point, is should there be a college football season? And obviously, it's a more complex issue than that. There's a lot of factors that go into it, mainly safety and health of the students, but you mentioned early before the break, Jake, that the We Want to Play, you know, movement is starting. Big names, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. The coaches have all gotten on board. I mean, we know we think most of the players are on board. You know, not every player, obviously. Players have opted out and other players haven't spoken. But every coach I've seen so far is on board that we want to coach, okay? And that's great. But you can't pick and choose when you want to listen to student athletes, okay? If the hashtag was We Want to Get Paid, how many of these coaches would be supporting their players? How many of these fans would be supporting the players, right? You have to listen to them at all times. That doesn't mean you take, you know, you do what they say, but you have to take their input in at all times. You can't just choose when you want to ignore them. So
right, I'm glad you made that point there, that you do, and there's a difference between listening and just blindly following what
exactly.
they say. Because take it, I mean, you could siren me if you want, but someone that played college football, there are a lot of student athletes with some terrible ideas out there, and a lot of former teammates of mine when I played at Northwood, that God bless them. I'm great people, but they wouldn't be the ones that I would be following for a movement. But there's a lot to be said when it's, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. But when it's the faces of college football, like the Trevor Lawrences, you know, like the Justin Fields, and the faces of coaches too. I mean, love them or hate them, they're very, very influential men. Jim Harbaugh's highest paid state employee. You know, you have to put a lot of stock into what he says. And when they are so adamant, of course, they have the vested interest.
Well, I was just going to say, though, you can't neglect that either.
That's what I think. A huge thing here is the decision makers have to evaluate all alternatives and think of how much more information is going to become available, which goes back to your point, and we both agreed with this point pre-show, that the schedule was put in place to allow flexibility, to allow the consumption of new information as it progresses here in the month of August into early September. And there were dates. That's why you saw the conference-only schedule that allowed the ability to kind of alter what you do moving forward based on the new information that becomes available, which to me says there's no reason on today, August 11th, to put your foot in the ground and say, we're not having college football, or we are having college football. It doesn't have to be decided at 10:30 Tuesday morning.
Even if you, just to play devil's advocate here, even if you don't see a path, right? I know they put the schedule out with the flexibility last Wednesday, but right now, August 11th or August 10th yesterday, when this kind of news and these rumors broke, or what if you just don't see a path to this happening safely, you know? I'd love the input from the players and the coaches. You can have a seat at the table, because I think their voices should be heard, but they're ultimately not going to be the final say. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the kids at the table, but the parents make the decision. I want to hear your input. I do. But in the end, the parents, the presidents or the athletic directors, whoever it may be, are going to make the decision whether this is safe or not.
That's why,
and they're listening to the doctors and scientists, right?
Right, right. And again, the smartest guy in the room routine in this situation, nobody is the smartest guy in the room because there are so many unknowns. But when I hear someone in a prominent position, like the commissioner of the Big Ten Conference, Kevin Warren, talk about his son who plays football for Mississippi State in the SEC, the Southeastern Conference, say he would be okay with his son playing football, I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah, the problem is it's one thing to be a parent of your own kid, it's another to be a parent of thousands of other kids, right?
Right, and then you get into the liability conversation. Is it player safety, or is it, hey, let's CYA, I know you know what that stands for, right?
Yeah.
And cover our you-know-what just in case, so let's...
Well, I think that's the big thing overall here. The trump card is liability. Now, they can't do this, but if they could, they would, hey, here's a waiver, Trevor Lawrence. Here's a waiver, Justin Fields. You cannot sue us or hold us liable at all for the rest of your life, anything COVID-related, right?
Well, players have that option. They don't have to play, but...
No, but if they do, they can't, you know what I mean? But the problem is you can't do that with amateur athletes. Have them sign over
right,
this
which
paperwork.
Is the big difference
yeah,
between
exactly.
NFL athletes and college
yep,
athletes.
Exactly.
Yes, but let's go to the phones, 248-539-9797. Same number to text as well. And, of course, the Carson Anderson Show available on Twitch, streaming live. Ray is in Southgate. He's on the ticket now. What's going on, Ray?
Good morning, guys. And I want to commend you guys for what you have to do. I'm sure doing the show right now has got to be as hard as attending the funeral itself. So I thank you guys for stepping up on this day. But
thank you, Ray. I really appreciate that.
My pleasure. You know, my daughter's a senior in high school, so I don't have to think about this for another year or so. But my problem is, like you guys said, there's going to be on-campus classes still. My problem is Michigan goes and plays Purdue the first game of the season. A kid from Purdue tests negative, goes in the game, he's actually positive. He gets one of our players sick. Now he's in class with thousands of other students the next week. And before you know it, you have you know, classes at Michigan being canceled because a kid from Purdue got it. My issue is that until the fatality rate and the sickness rate is below or right at zero, if it's anything above zero, my kid is at risk. That's the problem I have. There's no reason an innocent student should get sick because kids want to play football right now. And I understand they're playing for contracts and everything else, but at the end of the day, you know, the health and safety of our children is what's most important right now.
No, it's a good point, Ray. And I guess nobody would, I want to say nobody, there's outliers, there's whack jobs and so on and so forth, but most decent humans would say, of course you can't put players and student athletes and regular students at risk. But what do you make of Jim Harbaugh, his written statement? I don't know if you read the entirety of it, but the specifics are saying essentially, we acknowledge the risk, but here's what we're doing to be safe, and here are the facts that back it up, that we have been safe since June 13th when they reported to camp.
Well, and my point is that's fine. They should play in a bubble, and I'm for that. Don't let them go to class. Because now they, like I said, they play a team from another state. We don't know what their practices have been. They're telling us what they are, but now they're coming back. They need to stay in the football. You know, online classes, virtual classes, I'm fine with that. I don't think you need to risk innocent students who are maybe against this whole thing. And I know a lot of students are going to try to do virtual learning as well if they are scared, which, you know, they should be. My issue is that at the end of the day, these are the same kids that won't play in a bowl game because they might blow out their knee, but they're not worried about losing their life or having lung problems for years to come because they get infected on this. That's the problem with hypocrisy with college football right now.
Right, it's a good point. Appreciate the call. 248-539-9797. Where are you with it? Do you agree with Ray that too much risk? And we're not at a point where we know enough and we can't put other student athletes at risk? Or are you on Jim Harbaugh's side where here's the facts, here's what we're doing to be safe, it's okay to have college football? And don't limit it to Jim Harbaugh. Scott Frost, James Franklin, and the Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, but so on and so forth.
Well, I'm sorry, Jake, I just want to jump in there real quick. Because Ray's point of view is probably what the student the university presidents are thinking as well is, listen, I know everyone here is focused on sports. You know, we're a sports station. Everyone here, you know, loves sports. Everyone calling, listening probably loves sports. But it's about the rest of the students as well, okay? And he brought up the great point of this is, you know, what happens if you infect the rest of the student body? You know, not just athletes. And that's what they're trying to, you know, to measure against here. That, listen, Jim Harbaugh put all the facts, quote-unquote, all the stats, right, that it's safe under a controlled environment right now. No one's on campus. You know what I mean? School hasn't started yet. What happens when we have thousands of kids on campus, right? I don't care what anyone says. You know, do you guys want a season? And all of a sudden, everyone's going to just bunker down and not go anywhere? These are college kids. You know, Jake, that's not going to happen. And ironically, one of the reasons why we are where we're at is the young people didn't take this seriously during the summer, you know, or in the spring when this was started happening here, right? If everyone would have took it seriously, we might be somewhere different right now. But guess what? Part of the problem was young people don't take this very seriously. Now all of a sudden they want college football. Now we're gonna bunker down. We're not gonna go to any parties or bars anymore, right? I don't believe it. I'm sorry.
However,
we have grown athletes that are getting paid millions of dollars, professionals that can't do it. College kids to do this?
I was just going to say, there are some very fine examples of what happens if you don't take it seriously. You know, you can learn from the Miami Marlins, from the St. Louis Cardinals. And then I know I'm giving the student, I'm going
back
and
forth. Did the Cardinals learn from the Miami Marlins? Because the Cardinals haven't played since July 29th. The doubleheader with the Tigers Thursday just got canceled.
Postponed. You're right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.